الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد وصلنا بفضل الله عز وجل إلى الآية رقم 29 من شرح تيسير الكريم الرحمن لتفسير كلام المنان للشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله. Thank you for not speaking. So we will begin. I will read in Arabic, and one of the brothers will volunteer and read what I read in English, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah جل وعلا says, وقل الحق من ربكم فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر إنا أعتدنا للظالمين نارا أحاط بهم سرادقها وإن يستغيثوا يغاثوا بماء كالمهل يشوي الوجوه بئس الشراب وساءت مرتفقا إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إنا لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا أولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضرا من سندس وأستبرق متكئين فيها على الأرائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا. Somebody can read verses 29, 30 and 31 in English please, and raise your voice.
And say, the good is from your Lord. Then whose matter will let him believe, and whose power paper will let him disbelieve. Verily, we have prepared for the wrongdoers the fire whose scores will be surrounding them. And if they ask for drink, they will grant it water, like our moon, that will scald their faces, terrible is the dream, and on the air will mourn the heart.
All right. Allah Jalla wa'ala says, interpretation of the meaning, and say, O Muhammad, to the people, this is the truth from your Lord. So whomsoever wants to believe, like you inshallah, let him believe. And whomsoever wants to disbelieve, let him disbelieve. So Allah gave the human being a choice. You want to be a believer? Welcome. You want to remain a disbeliever? That's up to you. But what will happen later? إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلْظَالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. We have prepared for the hellfire, for the wrongdoers, the oppressors, those disbelievers, the hellfire. The Shaykh says, رحمه الله, أي قل للناس يا محمد هذا الحق من ربكم أي قد تبين الهدى من الضلال والرشد من الغي وصفات أهل السعادة وصفات أهل الشقاوة وذلك بما بينه الله على لسان رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
عليكم السلام
ورحمة الله. So the Shaykh رحمه الله says, now he's doing the tafsir, explanation, meaning say to the people, O Muhammad, this is the truth from your Lord, meaning it has become clear, guidance from misguidance, and Huda, it's very difficult how to translate Rushd and Ghay and Huda and Dalal. They seem to be synonyms, but they're not. I don't remember the variation. Rushd is the right, correct path from the wrong path. Let's say this one, inshallah. May Allah forgive me if it's incorrect. And the description of the people of success and happiness versus the description of the people of wickedness and wretchedness. The what is intended by the truth has become clear, meaning we already know the qualities of guidance and the characteristics of guidance and the signs of guidance versus the signs of misguidance, and the characteristics of the people of happiness, the believers, versus the characteristics of the disbelievers. Then this is through what Allah has revealed through on the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَإِذَا بَانَ وَاتَّضَحَ. So if it becomes clear and evident, وَلَمْ يَبْقَ فِيهِ شُبْهَةٌ, and there's no more doubt in it, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. So whomever, the Shaykh says, أي لَمْ يَبْقَ إِلَّا سُلُوكُ أَحَدُ الطَّرِيقَيْنِ سلوك أحد الطريقين بحسب توفيق العبد وعدم توفيقه, وقد أعطاه الله مشيئة بما يقدر عليه الإيمان والكفر والخير والشر, فمن آمن فقد وفق للصواب, ومن كفر فقد قامت عليه الحجة وليس بمكره على الإيمان, كما قال تعالى لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين, ولا يكره على الإيمان كما قال تعالى لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي. The Shaykh said, رحمه الله, regarding the statement of Allah, whomsoever let him believe, and whosoever will let him disbelieve. He says, after, there's no other path to choose. There's no third path to choose. There's no third path to choose. And it all depends on how much Allah Azza wa Jalla gives the tawfiq, the facilitation for the servant to travel upon each path, or or being deprived of the tawfiq of Allah. And Allah had given him a will which enables him to choose between believing or disbelieving, or between goodness and evil. So whoever believes, then he has been given the facilitation to the truth. And whoever disbelieves, then the proof has been established against him. The proof has been established against him, and you cannot force him into belief. As Allah says, no compulsion in the religion. No compulsion. No, you cannot force someone to believe. All you can do is convey. There's two paths they choose. Either they accept your invitation and they become believers, then they have been well guided, or they reject your invitation and they choose the path of disbelief and they are misguided. Either way, if they choose the second path, there's no way you can force them to come to the first path. Khalas. They don't want to believe. They don't want, like Brother Ali, one of his relatives, Ali Lumanov, he said he's been given a da'wah. So while we were in the lecture on Wednesday during the class, he got a text message from his relative who tells him, I already have salvation. Jesus is salvation. Blah, 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 blah. I don't need Islam, I don't need this, I don't need that. I already know everything, I'm good to go. Huh? What can you do to this person? If he doesn't want any guidance, what can you do to this person? You give him that. When you tell him that his Bible is distorted, and the evidence that you use it are fabricated, and there's contradiction between them, and then you have this Quran showing you the clear and the proof and the truth, and explaining the misconceptions and explaining the doubtful affairs about the prophets and the messengers, about Jesus and his mother, about everything in life, clear like the sun, that this book is from Allah and this book is from the people. It's no longer the same book that Allah revealed. So how do you favor that over that? What can you do to this person? If they want to disbelieve, Allah gave him the will. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. So whomsoever wills that in belief, and whomsoever wills that in disbelief. So the person, a human being, has a mashia. Now the Shaykh says, وَلَيْسَ فِي قَوْلِهِ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ الْإِذْنُ فِي كِلَا الْأَمْرَيْنِ وَإِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ تَهْدِيدٌ وَوَعِيدٌ لِمَنْ اخْتَارَ الْكُفْرِ بعد لمن اختار الكفر بعد البيان التام كما ليس فيه ترك قتال الكافرين. The Shaykh رحمه الله said, and in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, so whomever wants to believe, let him believe, and whomsoever wants to disbelieve, let him disbelieve. There is no permission here. This is not a permission for someone to choose disbelief and say on the day of judgment, you told me it's okay to disbelieve, you must have been pleased with it. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody might say, Allah says in the Quran, if you want to believe, believe. If you want to disbelieve, disbelieve. So they say, okay, I choose to disbelieve. Then they come on the day of judgment, and when they were asked why you were disbelievers, they will say, we were given the choice. I chose the other one. Allah gave me the choice. So why am I being punished? Huh? The Shaykh says, this verse does not give you the permission to believe or disbelieve. Rather, everyone has to believe. But this is a threat. This is a threat. So whoever wants to believe, whoever wants to disbelieve, let him disbelieve. But this is a threat. Yani be careful. Waalaikum salaam wa rahmatullah. Yani be careful of disbelief. Because Allah has indicated many other verses. Aminu, believe. Believe. You understand what I'm saying? So just in case somebody had a misconception. And this is a threat to whomever chooses the kufr after the clear proof. Also, there's no indication that you no longer fight against the kuffar. It doesn't mean that you can leave the people upon disbelief. Rather, if the kuffar were to fight the Muslims, then the Muslims are supposed to fight the kuffar. If there was a fight to go on between both, it doesn't mean we say we no longer perform jihad because Allah gave us, they said, let them disbelieve. Rather, jihad is still valid in Islam. And we need to give a lecture about jihad. Because many people think there's no more jihad because of everybody trying to hide jihad. And there's a difference between terrorism and jihad. There's a difference between terrorism and jihad. Something that Allah has legislated for this nation. Something that will keep the truth on top. Something that will help the religion of Allah spread. But it is to be done within the guidelines of the legislation and the Sharia. Not according to random individuals who blow themselves up in the public. You understand what I'm saying? This is not a jihad, neither is it Islamic. But if the Muslims and the non-Muslims were to battle one another, then this is something that Islam has established. And there's nothing to hide, nothing to deny. Rather, this is from Allah. And the Jews were ordered to fight during their time with Moses, and with Solomon, and with David. They were ordered to fight. This is not something that is new. There's always a fight between evil and goodness. And one has to prevail. And the one that prevails should be the truth. Because this is what will help people be guided into the truth. Everybody understand me? Hope you don't have any misconceptions about that. طيب. ثم ذكر تعالى ما آل الفريقين فقال إنا أعتدنا للظالمين. Then the Shaykh, may Allah have mercy on him, he mentioned the results or the final destination of both teams. So for the first one, he says, إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ. Verily, we have prepared for the wrongdoers or for the transgressors. The Shaykh says, بِالْكُفْرِ وَالْفُسُوقِ وَالْعُصْيَانِ. With those who were oppressors because of their disbelief and because of their corruption and because of their disobedience. نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. أي سورها المحيط بها فليس لهم منفذ ولا طريق ولا مخلص منها تصلاهم النار الحامية. Meaning they will be surrounded with a fire that will have a ray around. It will cover them. There's no escape from that. There will be no escape from this fire. And no path to leave. And no saving. No savior from the fire. And the hot fire will be, they will basically taste the hot fire. As you know, Surah Al-Humasa. Right? What was the end of the surah? عَلَيْهِمْ نَارٌ مُؤْصَدًا فِي عَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدًا. This is the same description of the fire. They say that the fire will have a cover. And the people will be allowed to travel towards the top, where they think they're going to escape. And as soon as they make it over there, they will be taken right back inside. So they will not be allowed to leave. And this is from the mental torment and the mental punishment for the disbelievers in the fire besides the physical one. Because when you think you're about to escape, and then you get thrown right back in from point zero, that's a major disappointment. So we seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal from this fire, which is really at one. This fire is real, and people will be going in there. So it's not life is not a joke, and it is not just a picnic that we come and just have a bunch of fun and eat and drink and go to the bathroom, get married, have children, and then khalas, ma'a salama. There's something much more vital, more sincere, more important about what's going to happen in the year after, and what kind of preparation are we putting for the year after. So this is among the things that we need to be mindful of ourselves as Muslims, furthermore for our non-Muslim relatives. That they should know that this is not a joke. Because you don't find a Christian really thinking about the fire. A Christian would never really think about the fire and the punishment of the fire. Everything is love, 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 mercy, forgiveness, salvation. Everything is just on the positive. They don't have no negative, although they believe there's a fire. Because why? Because they were not warned. They were warned, but they don't remember. Allah Azza wa Jalla gave us the Muslims a middle path. Huh? You don't travel too much towards hope. And you don't travel too much towards despair. Rather you travel on both. Hope in the paradise, fear in the fire. Why? Because this will help keep you in check. It will help keep you on the straight path. Otherwise, if you depend on mercy so much, you will become like the Christians, who depended on the death of Jesus on the cross for them, so everything goes. Everything goes. So this is the difference. We don't do the same thing. Because we know there's a fire, man. And there are narrations and verses that says if you do such, then you may go to the fire. So you can no longer do them. This is just an example. طيب. وَأَنْ يَسْتَغِيثُ أَيْ يَطْلِبُ الشَّرَابِ لِيُطْفِئَ مَا نَزَلَ بِهِ مِنَ الْعَطَسِ الشَّدِيدِ يُغَاثُ بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهِلِ أي كالرصاص المذاب أو كعكر الزيت من شدة حرارته يشوي الوجوه. أسأل الله العافية. And if they seek istighatha, if they seek help, meaning they ask for some drink, the people in the fire, when it's so hot, they will ask for some thirst quencher. In order to put off their extreme thirst, يُغَاثُ بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُلْ, they will be given some water to drink. But then Allah describes it as al-mul. Al-mul is, they say, like the melted lead. Melted lead. You know, like the bullet is made out of lead. You know, if you were to melt all the bullets of a gun, for example, is this hot liquid kind of material. This is the similarity of the water that the disbelievers will be given to drink when they request some thirst quencher. And it is so hot, yashwi al-wujuh, it will burn their faces. So the Shaykh said, فَكَيْفَ بِالْأَمْعَاءِ وَالْبُطُونِ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى يُصْهَرُ بِهِ مَا فِي بُطُونِهِمْ وَالْجُلُودِ وَلَهُمْ مَقَامِعُ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ. He said, if you drink it and your face get burnt, so what about their intestines and their belly and their stomach? It's so hot that your face gets busted. What do you say about the inner parts due to the heat of the fire? As Allah says, it burns that which is in their stomachs and their skin. And they have like hammers made out of hadith, made out of steel. بِئْسَ الشَّرَابِ الَّذِي يُرَادُ لِيُطْفِئَ الْعَطَشُ وَيَدْفَعُ بَعْضَ الْعَذَابِ فَيَكُونُ زِيَادَةٍ فِي عَذَابِهِمْ وَشِدَّةِ عِقَابِهِمْ. So Allah says, يعني, what a terrible drink that they are seeking to quench their thirst with it in order to remove some of the punishment, so it will become an increase in their punishment and their severity of their torment. وَسَاءَتْ, meaning what an, يعني, a terrible place, النار, the fire, مرتفقة. وهذا ذم لحالة النار أنها ساءت المحل الذي يرتفق به فإنها ليس فيها ارتفاق وإنما فيها العذاب العظيم الشاف الذي لا يفتر عنهم ساعة وهم فيه مبلسون قد أيسوا من كل خير ونسيهم الرحيم في العذاب كما نسوه. الله المستعان. And the Shaykh said that this is a reprimand, this is a kind of blameworthy state for the people of the fire, that it is a terrible place to reside in. And it is not a place where you can seek some kindness. There is no kindness in the fire, because it is not a place of kindness. Rather, it is a place of severe punishment that is not removed, not even for 1 hour. And they will be in there in a state of sadness. They are despair from every goodness. And the Shaykh says, and the most merciful forgot about them. يعني left them in the fire the same way they forgot about him. That is the result. Because sometimes you may assume, or the shaitan will try to whisper in your brain, this is too much. This is too severe. Why these people will be burned in the fire like this? And why? This is from the whispers of the shaitan. Rather, don't buy this nonsense. This is justice. In this world, they do it like that. You kill someone, they put you on a death row, and they kill you. If you harm someone, someone will harm you. If nobody does anything, people will say this is injustice. This person needs to pay for his mistakes. He caused corruption upon earth. There is no worse corruption than disbelieving in Allah, rejecting His messengers, rejecting His revelation. Not only that, fighting against them, and working against them, and inviting against them, and lying against them, and belittling them, and doing all the things that they do, going to the believers and killing them, and slaughtering them like they're animals, raping the women, killing the children in the name of freedom. These people, this is just what they deserve. They forgot about Allah. Today they're having fun and everything is good, money's in the pocket. But on the day of judgment, when they realize that they have earned the hellfire with their own hands, Allah Azza wa Jalla will forget about them. Not to forget what He doesn't know. Forget meaning He will ignore them. Although He's the most merciful, because they ignored Him while He was giving them, and being kind to them, and being gentle to them, and showing them the way, and bringing people to invite them, and showing them the signs in the heavens and in themselves, that Allah is the creator alone, and He's the only one who deserves to be worshipped. And this has been established in your brain from the time of Adam, that every prophet and messenger came with the call of Tawheed, worshipping Allah alone. So how do you set up parties with Allah? How do you worship Jesus, or how do you worship Buddha, or how do you worship a cow, or how do you worship the sun or the moon, or the gods of the Greeks and the many gods that they have? And it's already been established that there's no God worthy worship but Allah, because everybody knows Buddha didn't create you, and Buddha didn't sustain you, and Buddha doesn't do jack. And neither does the cow, and neither does Jesus, and neither does Mary, or the saints, or everybody else. Rather, all of them, they were created by Allah. So they need Allah. So you go to the one who needs Allah, and you seek your need from Him, and you dedicate your love and worship for Him, and you are devout to Him. Then you don't do that only, rather you go against those who truly believe, and you claim that they are liars, and they are terrorists, and they are blah blah blah. The Muslims worship Muhammad, Muslims worship another God, the Muslims don't really believe, although you make it clear to them. These people, this is a jaza and wifaq, this is an equal recompense. You get kama tadinu to them, the way you treat, you will be treated. If you plant a tree, if you take care of it, and you get some water every day, put some vitamins, you will have a nice tree with nice fruit. If you put it in the ground and you don't water it, you don't give it nothing, and then you come in a few days and you find it on the ground, you're going to get mad? You did it, Yaqi. You had a chance to take care of business. You didn't want to take care of business, so what are you complaining about? Realistically, you will tell them you cannot blame anyone but yourself. You had shortcomings, this is the outcome of your work. This is common sense. This is the most common sense on the planet. You do something, you will get something equal in return. You do good, Allah will give you more goodness. And Allah is more generous. And Allah is more merciful if you do goodness. Because there's goodness in you. You want to be evil, then Allah will allow you to take this path. But will keep giving you chances all your life. All your life. Allah says in the Quran, have you not lived a long number of years for the person who is supposed to remember already? Yani 50, 60 years you've lived this life and you've explored, and you were too busy to realize this reality. Yani no excuse. And you were created for that purpose. Yani you were created to find that out only, nothing else. Yet they leave the objective of life on the side and they get busy with life. Subhanallah al-Azim. Alhamdulillah, subhanallah al-Azim. Alhamdulillah, Allah guided us from this crazy state of mind, and from this foolishness, and this heedlessness, and this nonsense. It's a mercy from Allah that He gave us, showed us the path, and allowed us to travel upon it. Ask Allah to allow us to make it to the end of the road, inshallah ta'ala, and make it to Jannah, so we will never taste the fire, and we'll be among those who go straight to paradise, and enjoy the eternal life over there, inshallah ta'ala. Now the Shaykh says, ثم ذكر الطريق الثاني فقال إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أي جمعوا بين الإيمان بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره وعمل الصالحات من الواجبات والمستحبات. The Shaykh said then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned the second group, the second party. First we described the wrongdoers and the fire that they will be given to them. Tayyib, because they were transgressors, kuffar. Now here is the time for the believers. And the Quran always comes with that. It describes the fire, or the people of the fire, and the people of paradise. In order for the person to get both, tarqib or tarib. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, so the Shaykh said, verily those who believe and do righteous deeds. The Shaykh said, believe, meaning they bring a relation between believing in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the day of judgment, and preordainment, which we all know, the six pillars of faith. And they did righteous deeds. So Iman by itself, as some Muslims claim, is not sufficient. Sometimes your Iman is in my heart. I don't need to do anything outside. I don't need to pray, I don't need to fast, I believe. You say no. If you truly believe, you will see it will materialize in your actions. You will see it in your actions, in your appearance, in your obedience. Otherwise, it's just a claim. Then you're just like Satan, who also believes, in a sense. He seen Allah, he spoke to Allah. Not seen Allah, he spoke to Allah. He seen the angels, he used to worship with them. Huh? He knows about the prophets and messengers, he used to try to misguide them and their people. He knows about decree, and he knows about the day of judgment because he'll be in the fire. But can we call Satan a believer? No. Because it did not materialize into action. He only knew, and knowledge is not enough. There has to be a faith which materialized into action. And that was something that Satan didn't have. That's why he's a disbeliever. He's a kafir. Anyways, and those who did righteous deeds, whether they were obligatory or recommended. إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Verily, we will not waste the reward of a person or that who does good. وَأَحْسَانِ الْعَمَلِ أَنْ يُرِيدَ الْعَبْدَ الْعَمَلِ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ مُتَّبِعًا فِي ذَلِكَ شَرْعُ اللَّهِ. And what is intended by a good action or a good deed is one in which the servant seeks with his action the face of Allah, meaning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he does it according to the legislation of Allah. Meaning you have to have sincerity and follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You cannot lack, if you lack sincerity, no reward. If you have sincerity, but you don't have the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also no reward. The two conditions for the action, for the good deed to be accepted, is that it's done for the sake of Allah, according to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way he did it. Nothing more, nothing less. فهذا العمل لا يضيعه الله ولا شيئا منه بل يحفظه للعاملين ويوفيهم من الأجر بحسب عملهم وفضله وإحسانه. This is the deed that Allah Azza wa Jalla does not waste. Not even a small portion of it. Rather, Allah will protect it and save it for the workers, for those who did the deed. And He will give them their reward in full, based on His knowledge. Based on His knowledge about their condition and His kindness and His goodness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَذَكَرَ أَجْرُهُمْ بِقَوْلِهِ Excuse me. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارُ يُحَلَّوْنَ فِيهَا مِنْ أَسَاوِرَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ وَيَلْبَسُونَ ثِيَابًا خُضْرًا مِنْ سُنْدُسٍ وَإِسْتَبْرَقٍ مُتَّكِئِينَ فِيهَا عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ. Meaning those who were described with the qualities that we just mentioned, which is belief and doing righteous deeds, those they shall have gardens that are high above, because that is that is full of trees. And so that's why أَجَنَّتْ مَنْ فِيهَا. So it covered, hey, pay attention with me. So it covered what whoever's under it. So many trees, yeah, that they just encompass everyone. So everybody's under them is covered with these trees. وَكَثُرَتْ أَنْهَارُهَا. And the rivers are abundant and much. فَصَارَتْ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا مِنْ تَحْتِ تِلْكَ الْأَشْجَارُ الْأَنِيقَةِ. And the rivers are abundant, and it is flowing under these beautiful trees. This is some sort of description of paradise. والمنازل الرفيعة. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. وعليكم السلام. So, خلاص. So the and the very nice mansions in the Jannah. وحليتهم فيها ذهب. And their adornment in it is gold. ولباسهم فيها الحرير الأخضر من السندس. And the garment of the people of Jannah will be some very thick green silk. Okay, the material is silk. And it's known as called sundus, which is a very high quality of silk. This will be the clothing of the people of Jannah with gold. Gold in adornment. That's why a Muslim doesn't wear gold in this dunya, the male. Doesn't wear gold and doesn't wear silk. Because this is the clothing of the paradise. So we don't wear them today, inshallah, hopefully if Allah allows us to go to Jannah, we will wear them over there. وَهُوَ الْغَلِيدُ مِنَ الدِّبَاجِ. And it is a thick kind of silk. وَالْإِسْتَبْرَقُ وَهُوَ مَا رَقَّ مِنْ. So there's thick kind of silk and a thin kind of silk. مُتَّكِئِينَ فِي عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ. They will be reclining on it on these soft couches. This nice, nice thought, nice mood. وَيَسُرُّ الْمُزَيِّنَةَ And it is the adorned bed. المجملة بالثياب الفاخرة which has been يعني adorned with the beautiful kind of fabric. فإنها لا تسمى أريكة حتى تكون كذلك. It will not be called Arika until it has this description. We are in the explanation of verse 20-30, Mr. عبد الهادي. طيب وفي اتجاه على الأراض ما يدل على كمال الراحة وزوال النصب والتعب. And when Allah described them as being recliners on the couches, on the fancy beds, is an indication about the state of comfort that they are in. And that there is no hardship and there is no tiredness. Nobody will be feeling tired in Jannah. وَكَوْنُ الْخَدَمْ يَسْعُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمَا يَشْتَعُونَ And they will be servants who will be serving them from anything that they desire. وَتَمَامْ ذَلِكَ الْقُلُودُ الدَّائِمْ وَالْإِقَامَ الْأَبَدِيَةِ And the most complete and what completes all that, يعني the climax of all that, is that this is eternal. This is eternal. And the forever, the eternal residency. Well, the person who enters paradise will be enjoying these bounties from Allah till forever. Alongside with looking at Allah. Looking at Allah, which will be more pleasing to the believer than anything else. I'm not gonna... Anyways, now man. Now, eternal happiness. People listen to this. فهذه الدار الجليلة نعمة ثواب للعاملين وحسنة مرتفقة. This honorable residency is an excellent reward for those who seek it. وحسنة مرتفقة. And what a beautiful state of friendship or a state of place to relax in and have kindness and gentleness. ويتمتعون بما فيها بما تشتهي الأنفس وتلذ الأعين. And they enjoy whatever is in it from what the souls desire and what is pleasing to the eye. من الحبرة والسرور from an extreme joy and happiness. والبرع الدائم and continuous pleasure. واللذات المتواترة and excitement that never stops. والنعم المتواترة and the abundance of sustenance. وأي مرتفق أحسن من دار أدنى أهلها يسير في ملكه ونعيمه وقصوره وبساتينه الفيسنة الله أكبر. He says, and what residency is better than the one in which the least person in it, يعني the least person in Jannah, the one who makes it to paradise, and he is at the bottom, everybody else is better than him or her. They will walk. They will be walking in their own property, in their own property in Jannah, and its castles, and its bounties, and its gardens, the distance of 2,000 years. 2,000 years walking. You know about 2,000 years, man? Reality? No, man. 2,000 years you're walking. Yani 365 days or 360 days and 360 days and 360 days until 2,000 years walking in your property, everything is yours. This is the last person in Jannah. So what do you say about the one who already gets on top? Ya salam. That's Allah min fadli. Hey. And now not only that, that person will not see anyone better than him. This is another blessing. Because you may have a lot. But then you see people with more, there's something in your heart. Oh, I want more. Allah Azza wa Jalla will remove from the human, we will be purified if we go to Jannah. You'll be purified where you no longer feel the same way you feel in this world. So nobody will say, I wish I had more. He will think, man, nobody got it better than me. Although everybody else is better than him. No, no envy. No wishing to have what someone else has. Everybody thinks, oh, I'm the man. Although this is the last person in Jannah. So this is a ni'mah from Allah. Otherwise, we'll always feel like you want more. Maybe somebody has more. قَدْ أُعْطِيَ جَمِيعَ أَمَانِيهُ وَمَطَالِبُهُ وَزِيدًا مِنَ الْمَطَالِبِ مَا قَصْرَتْ عَنْهُ الْأَمَالِكِ And that person, the last person to go to Jannah, he will be given all of his wishes and his requests, and he will be given more, the things that he's unable to imagine. Yani he keeps requesting and asking and imagining until he runs out of imagination and things to request, he will be given beyond that. Because he can no longer imagine. مع ذلك فنعيمهم على الدوام متزايد في أوصافه وحسنه سبحان الله فنسأل الله الكريم ألا يحرمنا خير ما عنده من الإحسان بشر ما عندنا من التقصير والعصيان. Alongside with that, this pleasure will be continuous and it will be increasing. يعني it will keep getting better as time goes by. So the Shaykh said, we ask Allah the most generous not to deprive us of the goodness that He has of the goodness that He has with Him because of the evil that is in us from our shortcomings and our sinning. Yani this is a virtue from Allah, and we ask Allah not to treat us the way we deserve. Because if we will be treated the way we deserve, we may be deprived of many of the things. But we ask Allah not to be kind to us and to forgive our shortcomings and sin and still give us this virtue. Because Allah is generous and Allah is loving to the believers. A believer is always loved by Allah. Unless he goes completely outside of Islam, then there's no more love. As long as he's a believer, there's some kind of love. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a believer. Even if he is punished in the fire, he will eventually be taken to paradise. Because Allah loved him enough to make him a believer. Because there was some goodness in him. But we want to strive, and we don't want to make it like that. ودلت الآية الكريمة وما أشبهها على أن الحلية عامة للذكور والإناث كما ورد في الأحاديث الصحيحة لأنه أطلقها في قوله يحلون وكذلك الحرير ونحوه. This Shaykh said, and this particular verse, this is an indication in other verses that the adornment, يعني the gold, will be worn by both men and women, right? Because in this day, today, in this life, a man does not wear jewelry. And one who wears jewelry is imitating women. Because you're a man. You don't need a necklace and a bracelet and, you know, whatever. Trying to look like what? Huh? A man is a man, you stay the way you are. You want to wear a ring or whatever, that's another story. Watch, no problem. But we're talking about those who wear chains and necklaces and bracelets and anklets and what have you from these things. Anyways, so the Muslim doesn't wear this in this dunya. Particularly gold. The Muslim male. Because it is for the people of Jannah in Jannah. So this verse is an indication that both men and women will be wearing gold in Jannah. And both will be wearing silk. Due to the general statement of the verse. يُحَلَّوْ, meaning they will be given the adornment. They will be adorned. And it didn't mention that the women only or the men only. Rather it was mutlaq. It was general. So that includes both. The male and the female. طيب. Verse 32, وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا كِلْتَا الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهَرًا وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ. Somebody please read verse 32 to 34.
And faithful were to them the example of two men, and to one of them were given two barges of grapes. And we had surrounded, and there were some boats in this part, and had both between them green crops cultivated till. Each of those two barges brought forth its produce and filled not in the less rain, and we caused a river to pass forth in the midst of the contest. We reported the meeting.
Okay. يقول تعالى لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم اضرب للناس مثل هذين الرجلين الشاكر لنعمة الله والكافر لها وما صدر من كل منهما من الأقوال والأفعال. Allah عز وجل commanded His Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and strike to the people the example of these two men. One which was thankful to the bounty of Allah, and another one was a disbeliever in it. And what has come out of each of them from statements and actions. وما حصل بسبب ذلك من العقاب العاجل والآجل والثواب. And what has been and what was the outcome of that from the immediate punishment and the postponed one, and from the reward as well. ليعتبروا بحالهما, for the people to ponder upon their scenario or their situation for us, يعني, and those who listen. وَيَتَّعِذُ بِمَا حَصَلَ عَلَيْهِمَا, and they get an admonition and a reminder from what has happened to them. وَلَيْسَ مَعْرِفَةُ أَعْيَانِ الرَّجُلَيْنِ وَبِأَيِّ زَمَانِ وَمَكَانِهُمَا فِيهِ فَائِدَةً أَوْ نَتِيجَةً. And there's no benefit in knowing who these two men are and during what time they were or what was their location, because the wisdom behind the story is to understand their action and how we can benefit from them. As for who they are and who they were, it doesn't make a difference. So that's why it wasn't mentioned. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ, and strike for them the example of two men. Who are they? We don't care. Because Allah didn't mention, right? And there's no benefit. Even if we knew their name, the point is what happened to them. And how is this relevant to us? فَالنَّتِيجَةُ تَحْصُلُ مِنْ قِصَّتِهِمَا فَقَدْ. So the outcome is deduced from the story only. وَالتَّعَرُّضْ لِمَا سِوَى ذَلِكْ مِنَ التَّتَلُّقْ. And to try to find out other information is someone over-exerting himself. فأحد هذين الرجلين الكافر لنعمة الله الجليلة جعل الله له جنتين, أي بساتين حسنين من أعناب, بستانين حسنيين من أعناب. So one of these two men, he was a disbeliever in the ni'mah of Allah, in the bounty of Allah. Allah had given him two gardens that were pretty and nice and full of grapes. أعناب, full of grapes. وحففناهما بنخل, أي هاتان الجنتين من كل الثمرات, وخصوصا أشرف الأشجار العنب والنخل, فالعنب في وسطها والنخل قد حف بذلك. Meaning, we had encompassed them, these two gardens, from all kinds of fruits, and particularly the most honorable among the fruits, which is the grapes and the dates. The grapes and the dates. So the grapes was in the middle, and it was surrounded with their palm trees with the dates. This extreme beauty. فحصل فيه من حسن المنظر وبهائه وبروز الشجر والنخل للشمس والرياح التي تكمل به الثمار وتنضج وتتجور. So it became so beautiful in appearance alongside what the trees and the palm trees receive from the sun and from the wind, and which makes the fruit more complete and more delicious and more يعني nice in appearance. ومع ذلك جعل بين تلك الأشجار زرع. Even more so, Allah Azza wa Jal made in between all of this some more vegetation. So you have grapes on top, surrounded with palm trees, perfect location for the sun and the wind, and yet there was still vegetation down on the ground. فلم يبق عليه ماء إلا يقال كيف ثمار هاتان الشجرتين وهل لهما ماء يكفيهما. So all that was left to be said is what is the taste of these delicious fruits after Allah described them, and how does water come to them. Allah does فأخبر تعالى أن كلا من الجنتين آتت أكلها, أي ثمرها وزرعها ضعفين, أي متضاعفا. Allah told us that both of these gardens, they would produce double. Their production was double. And متضاعفا, وأنها لم تظلم منه شيئا, أي لم تنقص من أكلها أدنى شيء. ومع ذلك فالأنهار في جوانبهما سارحة كثيرة غزيرة. And it did not, يعني it did not oppress the owner in any shape or form. يعني not even one vegetation did not come out. That even one plant didn't come out with the vegetation. Everything was beautiful, perfect in harmony. And over that, the rivers were abundant, flowing around these two gardens. And they're يعني abundant. Now this is a nice scene. وَكَانَ لَهُ أَيْ لِذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ ثَمَرُ. And this man, he had fruits, ثَمَرُ, the vegetation or the fruit. أي عظيم كما يفيده التنكير, أي قد استكمل جنتاه ثمارهما وارجحنت أشجارهما ولم تعرض لهما آفة أو نقص, فهذا غاية منتهى زينة الدنيا في الحرث, ولهذا اختر هذا الرجل بهما وتبجح وافتخر ونسي آخرته. Meaning these two trees and these two gardens gave him everything from his vegetation, and the trees were in the best state, and it did not deprive him of anything, not even the smallest of fruit. And this is the epitome This is the highest position of the adornment of this world when it comes to vegetation. This is the highest position in terms of, because people, some people like gardens and this, some people like cars, some people like women. As it comes to Surah Al-Imran, it has been made beautiful to the people, women and horses and cattle and the vegetation, what have you. You know the verse. Tayyib. So because of that, this person became conceited with these two gardens, and he became arrogant. He started showing off, and he forgot about his hereafter. He was so overwhelmed with the beauty of this dunya that he forgot about his hereafter. Khalas. Now we made it to verse number 34. We will stop. Give you a few minutes to break before Shaykh Muhammad Subhan comes in. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك